Stone.
Yeah. Good morning, everybody. I think we're having a lean group here today. We know of some who are away and some who are ill this morning, but we're going to get started, and we are going to be a little bit lean. And if you'd like to read music, we're going to be in Psalm 103 in your Psalter. We have a tune that is not all that familiar to us, although we have done it before. And I chose this psalm, not to torture you, but only because it goes along with what the scripture reference on the handout is. It's Psalm 103D, and so when we sing through this, even if you don't read music, it kind of goes up and down, and then those eighth notes with the big black line through them, they go a little bit faster. This doesn't go that fast, because we'll destroy it if we do. Something like that. We might get through it if we do that. We don't even have Alan here. If you're a regular Thursday nighter, you know that Alan was very instrumental in Keith Green's early career, teaching him how to sing and stuff like that. So too bad for us. So you do need a handout. We are on parish number 15. And let's stand and sing Psalm 103. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for this scripture here. And thank you, Lord God, that you sit on your throne, your King above all, that all are answerable unto you. And Father, help us as we navigate, Lord, the crazy society in which we live to work through our present day crises. And Lord, help us to know that you're the King. Help us to be your faithful subjects. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Going through the Benedict option, we have in that section where it talks about a village. And I thought, having come across what's described in this paper here as the Warrington Declaration, it would be good for us to go through this. Again, we're heading into a new season of COVID, if you haven't figured that out from the news, okay? And so we have action, we have reaction, and there's a part of me that thought this particular document was going to gain more traction in our culture than it has. It is a response by a group of pastors to what they view is a real overreach of government exercise of authority in areas where, in their opinion, there really isn't any jurisdiction. But we've been here before, and this is about COVID, but it's about more than that. And part of the difficulty for us in COVID here is that we've already been trained to concede to the government areas that maybe we should, maybe we shouldn't. How do you like smoking laws? Maybe that doesn't impact us, but they're there. And you don't have a bunch of pastors kind of writing a document saying, how dare the government decide that we can't smoke inside? I'm old enough to remember when seatbelts first came into being, and I remember a little bit about some of the regulation that was involved with that. First being recommendations, then the legislature, meaning it's law, and then there's fines for that. And then I remember a little bit about speed limits, and you remember as soon as you got west of the Mississippi, you didn't have to worry about anything until about, I think, the mid-70s or so. And then 55 saves lives, and all of a sudden, you know, 55 mile an hour speed limit became the gold standard, even though that gets bumped around a little bit, and particularly out west. No one either pays attention to it, or they decided that, hey, we're not going to bend our knee to the government. We don't care what they say about fining us or withholding funds from us, from the federal government. If we decide in Wyoming that our speed limit is going to be 70 or 75, but these things have been in our culture for a long, long, long time. I was talking to Terry earlier in the week, and you know, he cited a public health issue that we probably don't give a whole lot of thought to. And it's been an unmitigated, wonderful success. And that is some of the laws about public sewage. Where would we be if we still had the laws at the turn of the century where, you know, everything is just kind of strewn in the streets and people have disease and cholera, deadly diseases? And we don't think too much about that, but maybe this is appropriate here. The horse is already out of the barn, so to speak, if you know what I mean, in terms of public health. And so for us to be saying, oh, this COVID thing is just a bridge too far. And so what I hope to do here is to have a discussion and to say that, you know, we really can be wrong if all eyes are on Washington and we treat these decrees out of Washington or the CDC or anywhere else as God. We also can be equally wrong if we say that the decrees out of ecclesiastical authorities are God, right? We also can be wrong if we say, whatever I think is right is the way it ought to go, right? Every man did that which is right in his own eyes. So this Sunday school lesson is kind of like just a pause button that said, here's a response that I think is pretty good. I thought it was going to gain more traction this week than it did, but even in this response, there's some real areas of overreach here which are not good. And so we have to be careful. As good as it is, there's some overreach here. And especially as Terry has reminded me that if they used a little more specific language, it would have been good. But when they make generalizations here, we need to be really careful about what that means for the next pandemic that comes along. And we don't want to give them any power at all. I mean, would we really want to have no building codes? We don't like them now, right? But would we really want to have no building codes? That's about public safety. Would we really want to have no, whose industry to decide what kind of electrical wiring you should have in your house? I should be able to put whatever kind of electrical wiring I want in my house, right? Would we really want to go back to the days where there is no public sewer and no public water? So I'm hoping this is thought, you know, this is food for thought and for discussion. And so God's in charge of all of these things, and we need to be really careful when we point the finger and we say, government shouldn't be doing any of that. They have no jurisdiction. Again, the horse is out of the barn. Think about what we've done in education. We've just abandoned it to the state, right? So, you know, at the end of the day, if we turn all the way to the back here, there's two points that I want to really use as takeaway. The first one is this, is that overreach on either side knows no bounds. And brothers and sisters, we are heading into another season where we're all going to have to deal with this. Okay? COVID's not going away, and there's going to be shutdowns, there's going to be lockdowns. How are we going to handle that? And then the second point I want to make is the real issue, it's none of their business and none of their jurisdiction, or is it about trust? And I submit to you that most of our objection about what's coming down the pike is we just don't trust them. We just don't trust them. And so that's a matter, you know, trust has to be earned. We get it, right? Trust but verify, Ronald Reagan said. But this is a matter for us to pray for them, civil authorities, and it's a matter for us to pray for ourselves that we will be of the right spirit. You know, you remember the sons of thunder, you know, Jesus, should we, you know, torch them too? And Jesus says, you don't know what spirit you're of, right? Because we tend to want to just torch the people who are on the other side. So what I have here, and we turn the page here, this is called a Warrenton Declaration, and it's a document that's produced really recently, and probably the most famous signee is George Grant. Anybody remember George Grant? George Grant is kind of even a friend of our congregation. He wrote Grand Illusions, the story of Planned Parenthood. I mean, he's just a solid guy, Presbyterian guy, not a rebel in any way, shape, or form. He was a very outspoken, while he was a very conservative person, a very outspoken critic of President Trump, even in his candidacy, because he felt Trump was just too easy to trash the other guys. So he's really a pretty level guy. And yet he's signing on here because he says, this COVID stuff is really out of bounds, really, really out of control. So, second paragraph down here, the Warrenton Declaration on Medical Ethics, Medical Mandates, Biblical Ethics Authority was created in order to provide some doctrinal clarity and cohesion on issues of biblical authority and ethics related to medical mandates. The declaration seeks to equip us folks and officers, providing transparencies on where they stand to assist individuals who are being mistreated in their churches, in some cases, with well-ordered summary of belief in this regard. And here's the psalm we just sang about, Psalm 103, the Lord has prepared his throne in the heaven. The preamble, with the rise of COVID-19 and all the attendant ramifications, it's been incumbent upon the church to come to terms with what it believes related to the intersecting of areas of biblical ethics, authority, and medical mandates. Unfortunately, due to pervasive lack of theological and biblical understanding on these issues, coupled with the tendency to over-attribute power and jurisdiction to the state, oftentimes churches have defaulted to almost flexibly acquiescing to whatever the government health agency statements are made and the policies they put in place. The legitimacy of the sweeping powers attributed to the state is either simply presumed or reinforced with scant or faulty biblical support. Powers are assumed to exist unless explicitly denied rather than regarded as absent unless firmly established by the scripture. As a result, rather than leading on these issues, pastors often become little more than mouthpieces. And boy, we've seen enough of that, right? Mouthpieces for the government on health issues, and then used by some of these same agencies to help carry out their bidding. These reasons given for following such policies and mandating them in the local church are not typically justified by well-rounded and systematic understanding of the whole counsel of Scripture on divine authority and what it means to love one's neighbor as oneself. Instead, the rationale given is usually disjointed, unbalanced, and confused. To that end, the Warrington Declaration on Medical Mandates, Biblical Ethics, and Authority was created in order to provide clarity on these issues moving forward, to equip local churches, their officers, in providing clarity on where they stand to assist individuals who are being mistreated in their churches with a well-ordered summary of belief in this regard. By the way, our church is not a signatory. I'm not personally a signatory of this. That could emerge, I suppose. It's not on our docket. Again, this is all brand new, and you can find it online, of course. So at this point, it's a discussion item because, you know, I try to be somebody who looks out, and I'm thinking that, you know, as soon as summer's over with, the hammer's going to come down pretty hard on remasking, on mandates of every sort, and, you know, we're going to need to have a better grip on these things than we have. And when I say we, I mean me, I mean the elders, I mean you, I mean all of us. We're going to be faced with this. So what we have here is two sections in this declaration. The first section is on authority, and the second section, which starts over three or four pages later, is on application to medical mandates. So they're set in a typical a format of a declaration where there's affirmations and denials. And I guess what I want to do is, I think with the group that we have here, instead of me going over it, I want to give you 10 or 12 minutes, read it over yourself. If there's a particular issue that you want to comment on, right, or challenge, or affirm, we'll have that discussion. So we don't do this often in Sunday school. So next 10 minutes are on you, okay? Read it over, take a look. Then tell us what you think. And I won't play any Jeopardy music while you're doing it.
I'm here Sunday now grumbling. Pastor Jim's putting us to work in Sunday school. I normally can just sit and zone out.
All right, 3 more minutes. All right, we're going to settle back in here today, and I'll just get started here, and I guess I'll say this. While I appreciate the spirit of what these guys are trying to do, especially in light of, you know, the situation that we are in, I think a lot of this really is, it assumes a lot, and it's written very poorly in terms of making it just not something you can really live with unless you're going to particularize what that background is. And so if I can point your attention to section 2 where it says attention to medical mandates, and so I'm looking at paragraph number 16 where it says we deny that civil authorities have been granted lawful jurisdiction. They like to talk about jurisdiction here and saying the government's jurisdiction is very small. Lawful authority over personal, familiar, and public health. You know, it's just very broad. And so, like, you know, who can remember that there are laws against, you know, jaywalking, right? I mean, we could say, how dare they, you know, and you should be able to walk wherever you want to walk on the street. And who cares if you cause accidents or make cars swerve out of the way? Look at number 19. We deny that civil governments have lawful jurisdiction or authority to remove anyone's right to pursue their livelihood and conduct their affairs in public. Well, wait a minute. If we're going to punish crime and people are going to be put in jail, isn't the government really removing someone's right to pursue their livelihood? If we're going to exercise the death penalty, aren't we really doing that? So, again, I just think it's poorly written. We know what they're trying to say there, but they're leaving it so open that government can't do what are some really legitimate functions. You with me on that? Okay?
There's exceptions to the rule.
Yeah, there's too many. So there's not enough specificity here. Look at number 20. So I can sympathize with the burden these guys feel. Number 20, we deny that civil governments have lawful authority to enact lockdowns predicated on protecting public health, as this is not their jurisdiction. Well, you know, I can think of a whole bunch of examples where, you know, curfews are exactly what is a function of government here under special circumstances. But they're saying this is completely outside their jurisdiction, and so whose jurisdiction is it? What if dad says, kids, you can't go out tonight? Well, who gave him that jurisdiction? So, you know, I know what they're trying to do, and we all know what lockdowns mean, but it's just so broadly and therefore poorly written. It'd be hard to sign on to this, because while they're going after overreach on the one hand, there seems to be doing an overreach on the other. So, who wants to go first? Yes, Terry.
So, I would say that a lot of it seems like it would be helped for to talk about jurisdiction in a way where, like, my health for me, just considering myself, is my jurisdiction. Like, I have complete authority over that. where my decisions impact other people, that then becomes not just my jurisdiction. So like, you know, for lockdowns, for this case, like, you know, COVID-19, this case, there's a good case to be made that, like, that maybe my not getting vaccinated or my whatever doesn't impact that much of the society that's gotten vaccinated, and that, you know, that, so there's a case to be made for that. But if it's another pandemic, if it's something else that's cooked up in the Wuhan lab, where, you know, it's gonna kill 90% of the people that get infected, and it's going to infect, you know, 100 people for every one person that's infected. Like, if it's something that terrible, then yes, like, my not getting vaccinated would pose a public health danger, and probably I should either be sequestered or band-aided or something. Like, if I am necessarily going to kill 100 people if I don't do this, then that's sort of the government's responsibility. Now, in COVID-19, that is not the case, but in another case, like, you can't say that it's not the government's responsibility if my actions are going to impact the public.
Mm-hmm. Do you have any background in tuberculosis?
I mean, I know about it.
And they sent people away for that, right?
To protect society, right?
Yep. To protect society. I mean, I know a cousin of mine who lost a lung and had TB, and he was sent away, and I understood it to be a protection for others. Is that right?
Yep.
And so, and you would affirm that that's a reasonable thing for the government to do, right?
That, I mean, in that case, tuberculosis is, you know, yeah, that they considered that was best for their society, and
yep.
I don't think that's completely outside the realm of their jurisdiction, because they would have infected multiple.
All the while, we can sympathize with what motivated this document, right?
Right.
Okay. Who else? Anybody?
Lee? Another example, not related to COVID, kind of with number 20 here.
Number 20?
Hypothetically, I'm a Christian lady. I'm a prostitute. That's what I do for a living. But I'm a faithful Christian, and I have venereal disease. But apparently, I think, is it New York City recently? Said I can do my thing, I can practice my trade, and there should be now no lockdown in my activity. So how do they fit that into how's the dilemma fit into that?
Right, so you're saying that this document is saying that she can practice her trade.
She can use that to reinforce her her idea.
It's a free country, I can do what I want. Exactly. Yeah. So you're in favor of public health, and the government having jurisdiction over public health to prevent her from practicing openly and freely.
Well, you have to have a balance. And, you know, yes, it has to be. Where do you draw the line? And then, you know, you have to.
Right. A point of my purpose here is we like to see things in black and white, and there is this thing called trust in the middle and exceptional circumstances where we have to weigh things with a little more nuance than black and white. Mm-hmm. And I know Chuck's just getting ready to tear my head off, so go ahead, Chuck. What do you have for us?
So I was looking at this brief read, but it looks like essentially a rough draft of a treatise on delineating sovereignty.
Yeah.
Sphere
sovereignty, yes.
The problem is, who's granting?
Well, they're claiming all these Bible verses are giving them all these proof texts are.
I understand that.
Yeah.
Not just the nice thing about it, but from a biblical perspective, gives you cases. The problem with government, for instance, exerting their sovereignty, is that we seem to, in this day and age, January, she was a college professor, and now she's thrown into this position, and she's just willy-nilly issuing these dictates. Mm. And nobody's stopping her. And it's the same with other bureaucrats.
Right.
And it's going to be interesting in the days to come when all these petty bureaucrats start stepping on each other's toes. We're the ones that are going to feel the impact, but it's going to throw even more confusion in the culture.
Right.
The problem is they've lost balance. We're not, that they've been throwing out evidence to back up their claims for all these dictates. They're disregarding science.
Yes.
Science, they're going by political science, not the methodical science.
Right, right.
And that's the thing that I object to.
Right, right. Right. My sense about science is economics is a science too. We ought to pay attention to that. Because there's rules. If nobody works, we're all going to starve.
Observable rules.
Yeah. Anybody else? Yes, Teresa.
Yeah, I was thinking about this too. You know, in the Bible, it does say there's going to come a time where we can't buy or sell without the mark of the beast.
Ah.
And when you listen to, say, Mayor de Blasio, he is actually threatening people in New York City that if they don't have the vaccination, they can't go to restaurants, they can't do this, they can't do that, they can't do this. So is that part of a bigger picture? Are we moving in that direction, perhaps?
The whole eschatological aspect, end times aspect of that is a whole other layer of this.
It's
fascinating
to watch it because
I personally don't think so, but that is a whole different layer that has people on high alert, for sure, for sure. The cheap seats, yes, Jerry, Gary.
I find that the government is a godless entity. They don't recognize God. Mm-hmm. They don't recognize the word of God. They prove it every day, especially Biden. They don't know the word of God. So whatever they do in the name of decency, for the sake of God, they know nothing. And this is where the church comes in, because they shut down the churches. Mm. They shut the churches down. That is alone, in my opinion, is a grievous sin. And now we got the churches that there's still churches that go on past open doors.
Right.
Even today.
Yep.
Because of what? What are they afraid of?
Yep.
I don't get that. And that's like in my family, there's people that still don't go to church. They don't like crowds.
Yep.
And this is the government doing this in the name of existence. They must exist. God doesn't need to exist. They are the God. And that's what they're showing.
And again, historically, we're coming at this from a really unique position. The history of the world has been godless government.
Absolutely.
You know, and so we're coming at it from off the coattails of a different arrangement. Who else? Anybody? Yeah, Terry, yeah.
They're not just talking about government, civil authority. They also, like, towards the end, start talking about, like, ecclesiastical authority.
Yes.
And I think they're missing the point when they act like the church is trying to mandate masks or things like that because of health reasons. For the most part, I don't think that that's why the church is doing that. Like, that is, you know, the public health, my actually infecting somebody else, in my opinion, is the government. You know, the government has some say in that. Where the church usually comes in, like the ecclesiastical authority, is not me infecting somebody else, but like to promote good order overall. You know, where my not wearing a mask might have some, you know, impact on other people not wanting to come to church, or something about, like, you know, me not doing something or me doing something affects other people's church experience or other people's, like, church lives.
Right.
And again, me affecting other people then makes it not just my authority. So that makes it part of the ecclesiastical authority as well, in my opinion.
Right. Does a civil government have the authority to make people wear clothes?
depends on where they are.
On Miami Beach.
Just a thought, you know? I mean,
where did he go?
Exactly,
so,
right. So,
what if they said that you had a choice and then I came into church next week naked? What would you do? There's the ecclesiastic authority.
Yeah, right. Right.
Right.
And trust, yes.
We're no longer a representative republic because our representatives have chickened out. Everything's being done by bureaucrats now. And we're turning into a dictatorship like the world has never seen. That's scary.
It was worse.
And, you know, mask wearing isn't just an additional piece of clothing, actually, if you think about it. Isn't it?
Except it for some people, it interferes with your ability to breathe freely, to communicate clearly, to identify one another.
I get it.
I'm just saying.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, one more here is... on the medical section, 31.
31?
Yeah. The government authorities can actually twist and use some biblical basis to say, well, you know, you're not complying with masks and vaccines. You know, you Christians, you're not really loving your neighbors.
Yeah, that's
so
been big.
Yeah.
One thing that we keep overlooking.
Well, stay tuned. Right? Stay tuned. I'm going to pray. Father God in heaven, we thank you for your grace, and we would help, Lord, that all eyes would be upon you today, and that you would help us, Lord, as a culture, we're floundering and we're lost. And Lord, be building our villages, be building our parishes. Lord, give us a sense of community and give us a sense of good and godly government. Make it so, we pray. We give you thanks for this and lead us, Lord, as we are about to enter into worship. In Jesus' name, amen. So take this home, look it up.